Good afternoon, everyone. This is Trevor Benson and Ryan Turner from School Economics. We're just waiting for a number of participants to come off the telephone and join via computer browser so that you can access the presentation. If you are using a computer, please use the link provided in the chat box to access the Prezi presentation. And we'll begin with an introduction from Phil from Sustain Ontario in just a moment. Okay, everyone, I think we're ready to start. As participants join, we will continue to put up the link so that they can access the presentation. I know we have some questions around audio, so at the moment everyone is muted, and we will unmute throughout the presentation and webinar for discussion. Bill, I'll pass it over to you for an introduction, and then we can get right into the webinar and presentation itself.
Thank you very much, Trevor. So welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming to this webinar. As you can see, we're trying a little bit of an experiment here with the technology. We wanted to do the presentation in as exciting and dynamic a way as possible, so we're using Prezi for the presentation. And for that purpose, Cauliflower seemed like a good way to pair an audio feed with that, since it links up well with Prezi. So hopefully the technology is working for everyone now, and hopefully folks will be able to follow along. If you look in the chat box, I know that Trevor will talk about this in a moment. There'll be a link there. It'll be in green. If you click on that, you should get a new window opening up that'll show the Prezi presentation when it's time to do that. But for now, I just wanted to say a few words of thanks and to everyone who's participated in this process so far. This has been an interesting experience that FoodShare and we at Sustain have engaged in with our colleagues in Ecoeconomics since we began this project last summer. Basically, it's as most of you, or I believe all of you at this point probably know, it's a project that was funded in part by a grant from the Ministry of Citizenship, Immigration and International Trade, looking to explore evaluation practices in the not-for-profit sector. And FoodShare and we at Sustain Ontario thought we'd be able to speak to what was happening in the food sector, hopefully reasonably well, and to get some collective input from our members and our other colleagues in the sector about what was going on. So this has been an interesting train ride we've been on with a lot of iterations, a very clear process we were following from the beginning to make sure we were involving as many people to get as many diverse opinions as we could. I'm not going to speak to any learnings at this point, any lessons learned, because I think that it's still a little premature. But what I will say is one of the big lessons learned for me, being relatively new to the sector, and it shouldn't surprise any of you who've been here for a long time, is that food is really complex. And I say that not just facetiously. What's been interesting in this process is every time we've gone through an iteration and started to put out some preliminary findings, get some feedback, get some additional work, some additional groups reached out to, the project has snowballed. And we've had massive contributions from very disparate fields that we hadn't initially planned for, and we're grateful for that, and it's wonderful. I think I know that the gang from Eco-Economics will be chiming in a few moments about this, but I just wanted to state, you know, from the very beginning, this was always a very humble undertaking. We always knew with the limited time frame we were given on this grant and the limited amount of funds we had to work with, that all we'd ever be able to do is start an important conversation here. And I think it's great that so many of you have decided to be part of that conversation at various different times. And some people have joined us at conference meetings, at in-face workshops, through surveys, through telephone interviews. It's been very gratifying to see that the folks in the food sector have been willing to share their expertise, share their experiences, and share their stories with us as we've been moving along. So once again, thanks to everyone on the call for coming this afternoon to hear the next stage of things. And thanks to our friends at Eco-Economics for running this and for really helping with this, keep this seemingly impossible yet humble task moving forward. So with that, I'm going to turn things over to the gang at Eco-Economics. Trevor and Ryan, take it away.
Thank you so much, Phil. And just to echo what you said about it being quite a complex project, I think we're all in agreement that that this is an exciting project as well, and that this is an opportunity for everybody on the call and online to continue in the conversation in this important project today. So really, today is meant to provide you with an introduction to the working collective impact map that we have to date, that stakeholders have come together collectively to produce, and for us to really show you where we're at, and to gather from you insights, feedback, comments, and concerns about the specific areas of the collective impact map, so that we can take all of your feedback and ensure that it's used to inform further revisions and versions of the collective impact map itself. So at this point in the webinar, we'd like to invite anybody who has not used the link to the Prezi presentation to do that now. If you're having any issues accessing the presentation, please let us know in the chat box. Our colleague Devin will be managing the chat throughout the course of this presentation and discussion. And as we work through the presentation and through the collective impact map itself, there's going to be many opportunities to provide feedback and comments, and we greatly appreciate anything and everything that you have to contribute. So please don't hesitate to put that your comments in the chat box, and we'll make sure to unmute individuals during times that we would like to have more open and audio discussion. We have designed the collective impact map for the purposes of this presentation in a way that will allow you to identify the specific outcomes and indicators that you are commenting on or you'd like to provide feedback on. So if you'd kindly identify that the outcome or indicator, if the case may be, in your comment by outcome one or, for example, indicator I-30, then we'll know later on exactly which indicator outcome you're speaking to. And we want to do this so that we can track and have your comments inform further revision. So with that being said, and without further ado, we're going to jump into the presentation of the collective impact map itself, and we'll facilitate a discussion as we move around the map. All right. So if everybody is able to see the presentation, if anybody's not, just let us know. Are you able to see it, Devin? Are you editing it, Devin? Okay, so we are mapping collective impact for Ontario's food movement. And throughout this project, this map has taken on a number of different iterations. And the iteration that we are working from now is quite visual in format, and we're excited to show it to you today, and it's really been informed from the second co-design session. But before we get into the visual itself and working through it, we wanted to make sure to outline some objectives and outcomes for this particular webinar. So today, over the next hour and a quarter, we'd love to review the working collective impact map development process, to introduce you to and walk through the working version of the collective impact map, and then to refine, the map itself from the comments and feedback that you provide over the course of this webinar. So really, as an outcome, what we're looking for is your comments and feedback on, as well as proposed revisions to the collective impact map. The agenda that you were sent in advance, we just went through welcome and introductions. If you are just jumping on the call, this is Trevor Benson from Ecoethonomics speaking. I'm here with Ryan Turnbull from Ecoethonomics, and Philip Groff from Sustain Ontario just provided a welcome and introduction. So we have the agenda objectives, as you can see. The next agenda item is going to be going through the development process and kind of where we are coming from, where we're going. An introduction to the layout of the collective impact map, and then we're really going to be working in agenda item 5 through the map itself. And there's opportunities, and where we're really looking for some feedback from is around the impact statements, and we'll discuss those. We're going to be looking at the various core outcomes that have been identified to date, which have not yet been identified as short, medium, or long term, and we would value your feedback on those if you see them as being most appropriate in one of those time periods. The strategies, shared measurement tools, and foundational support. And then we'll end this webinar with some open discussion and concluding remarks, as well as next steps. So the collective impact map that we will be reviewing today has been informed by a breadth of research and gone through a number of iterations. At each stage of the development process, we've tried to ensure that stakeholders have been engaged throughout all of the in-person and over the phone and online processes. And this is to ensure that we have, as an outcome, a map that is representative, accessible, self-reinforcing, actionable, guiding, and reflective. The goal for this map is for yourselves wearing your organizational hats to be able to see where you fit into this resource, how you can use it to inform your evaluation on the ground floor, and how we can work as a collective across the sector to create broader collective impact. So this discussion today is really an opportunity for you to contribute to this project by providing feedback on the map at this stage or at this iteration. So some milestones and key activities that we'd like to briefly touch on is an evaluation tools and resources review. The team here at Ecoethonomics, with great support from Sustain Ontario and FoodShare, went through hundreds of evaluation tools and resources over the course of a number of months. And these were community-based food initiative resources and evaluation tools from not only the province, but extra-provincially across North America and a few outside of North America. And with this review, what we were able to do was really identify not only best practices, but also extract the plethora of outcomes and indicators across the sector through the various programs and projects that food organizations are involved with, are involved in at the ground floor and in the communities, so that we could create an inventory of hundreds and hundreds of indicators to see where these could be themed and see where there's overlap, so that we could have essentially a pool to work from as we move into the co-design of a collective impact map. Before we got into the co-design, we had a webinar entitled From Bland to Delicious, Spicing Up Evaluation, in which Ryan and Rita, our evaluation specialist, really went through kind of the importance of evaluation and the opportunities to build up Ontario's food movement's evaluation capacity. We're just on D, our first co-design session at the Bring Food Home Conference up in Sudbury late last year. It was entitled Sharpening the Tools for Change, and it was an opportunity for stakeholders to come together as a collective and to discuss which core outcomes they saw their own organizations fitting or working towards, as well as which outcomes they saw the sector as being important to the sector. And the outputs and outcomes from that particular co-design session were used to inform and develop a second co-design session and a movement towards a very loose or draft version of a working collective impact map, which was presented in Toronto at a session entitled Choosing the Tools for Change. At this particular session, we had an opportunity to present where stakeholders' interests lay from the first session and a working framework to really start to understand how the sector was seeing the work they were engaged in and how this work could be would overlap and be used towards informing greater collective impact. That particular session ended up really changing the group's understanding of how a collective impact map could look. And we're going to get into the visualization in just a moment. But really, we understood the danger of trying to force kind of squares into circles and push core outcomes and indicators into a very rigid framework. And the decision was made and consensus was around really trying to provide more flexibility in a collective impact map in a way that we could understand the correlation between impact areas, statements, outcomes, indicators, and strategies. And the decision was made to move forward with a visualization of a tree, which, as I mentioned, we'll be presenting in just a moment. After that co-design session, we had two online surveys with participants and the wider local food movement on identifying core outcomes in the first survey and then core indicators in the second survey to really continue the conversation and continue to filter those hundreds and hundreds of outcomes and indicators that were collected and analyzed and reviewed at the initial stages and then presented throughout the co-design sessions, so that we're slowly getting closer and closer towards consensus around areas in which the food movement and stakeholders across the sector are interested in working towards as a collective. And that brings us to today, the March 30th webinar, where we were quite excited to present to you the visualization, the impact areas, to present to you some working impact statements that we will discuss and refine and revise accordingly, and then as well as the core outcomes and indicators related to these impact areas and broader discussion around strategies and tools and resources that can help to build evaluation capacity across the province. And then finally, on April 14th, will be a dissemination webinar that will speak to opportunities to share and take advantage of this collective resource.
Okay, maybe I'll just add a few comments onto Trevor's really detailed sort of step-by-step explanation. I think it's really important for people on the webinar to understand how these key activities have flowed together and how at each step along the way, we've had a lot of great input, starting off with all of the people that shared with us their tools in the local food movement, and just how that furnished that inventory of quite a lot of outcomes and indicators, how those were then given to the group. In other words, we gave those outcomes and indicators to the group in that first session at the Bring Food Home Conference, and they were the ones that organized it into a framework. That framework was then, in a sense, the bare bones that the next group was supposed to work on, and they took it in a very different direction. And that's why the result of our process here is going to be a visualization that I think has a lot of flexibility built in and uses a kind of a unique way of presenting an evaluation framework in a way that I think, hopefully allows for different types of uses and things like that. I have to say too that because of the change in direction in that second co-design session that we facilitated, there's quite a number of decisions we had to make with the limited budget as to figure out how we would, you know, through a kind of an inclusive process, still get people to kind of vote on and work through defining some basic core outcomes and core indicators as a starting point for this working draft. So those were core, you know, those were closed-ended surveys, you know, a bit challenging, I'm sure, for us and for people responding to them. But what's resulted from that is a basic structure that we can start to hone and work on. And so that, in today, you know, is really what today's webinar is about, is to hone that. And I think there's certain specific areas we're hoping to get your feedback on, and then there's going to have to be more work done in the future. So I think that's, you know, it's important to realize that this has been an ambitious project from the start. To think that we could create a collective impact map for Ontario's food movement in a very small, limited time period and with, you know, only several hundred stakeholders is definitely, you know, ambitious. And, you know, but I think we're going to have at least a working draft out of this and probably lots of room for further dialogue around how it can be used and what its merits and utility would be. So I think that from my perspective is some of the key things that I'd like people to keep in mind.
And just further to that, we recognize and absolutely appreciate when we work through this this visualization and this working collective impact map, there may be perceived misalignments between indicators, outcomes, and impact areas. And we recognize this, and this is exactly where we would greatly appreciate your feedback and comments on. So I'll speak more to how you can do that, but it will be through your chat boxes on the webinar platform, and we've provided some, we'll provide some opportunities for more open-end discussion through raising your hand using the platform. There's an opportunity for you to, in your top of your cauliflower platform, to raise your hand, and we will see that and ensure to unmute you so that you can speak openly. So with that being, just one last reminder, if anybody is still on the phone, this is a webinar. So we would greatly appreciate if you have access to a computer, tablet, or a mobile device that you're able to access the presentation on. You would benefit greatly from seeing the presentation, as we will be working through the visualization as a group and discussing points along it.
Just to be clear, when Trevor says presentation, he means the Prezi presentation, not the one that you see on your screen when you log into the webinar. So cauliflower, you know, we just put one slide in there, but the main presentation is in the Prezi, and we've uploaded in the chat box the link several times, so you should be able to find it and just click on it.
Yeah, it should be at the middle bottom of your screen, and it's a green link, and if you click it, you will be able to jump right into the map. Okay, so as Ryan mentioned, and as I was alluding to, the visualization that we've ended up at for this collective impact map is of a tree. What you see now is kind of a wider or a high-level view of the tree itself. So we're going to be working through the areas of the tree, and as we do that, we can have discussion around the specific areas themselves. But ultimately, the vision that we are sharing and hoping to achieve in the future is healthy food for all. This was heard loud and clear through all of the consultations and stakeholder engagement sessions, and it's summed up in few words, but is certainly an umbrella or catchment vision for the entire tree itself. So we've identified in the sessions and in the webinars and consultations we've had to date, a series of or a group of stakeholders that are going to essentially be the trunk of this tree, and as a kind of key players in the local food movement, really ensure that the impact areas and vision that we want to see can be achieved. So we've identified community members, food organizations, funders, governments, and industry. If there are other key stakeholders that you think should be as part of this tree, part of this trunk, kind of the supporting structure of the entire food movement and the impacts we want to achieve, please let us know. You can write this in your chat box and we can discuss this further by raising your hand later. But if there are other key stakeholders, or if the key stakeholders you're seeing at the moment should be worded differently or should be taken out, please let us know. So five specific impact areas were identified, and we see these impact areas as really being the branches of this tree. As we move through this visualization, we'll move through each impact area, an impact statement, core outcomes related to that impact area, and key indicators related to those core outcomes. The first impact area is healthy food communities and cultures. The working impact statement we have is building dynamic and connected food networks. This impact statement is meant to reflect the core outcomes and indicators and work that will take place under the healthy food communities and cultures impact area. As we work through the core outcomes in just a moment, and as we review the indicators, if you feel that this statement does not accurately capture healthy food communities and cultures, we would love to hear back from you. We will revisit this statement in just a moment after reviewing the core outcomes and indicators. So the first outcome related to healthy food communities and cultures that was went through the two co-design sessions and then the two surveys and rose to the top was increased student awareness of local sustainable food and healthy eating. For any of these, my apologies, for any of these outcomes and indicators in a moment that you have any comments or feedback on, if you'd kindly write outcome number one or O number one in your chat box and provide us with any feedback or comments, concerns, or questions, we are keeping track of all comments and will certainly use and try to respond to and use the comments to inform any revisions. So the related indicators to increase student awareness of local sustainable food and healthy eating, the top three: number of local seasonal foods by spring, summer, fall, and winter that are correctly identified by students, the number of benefits associated with healthy eating identified by students, and the average number of exposures to food literacy programming per student in Ontario. Again, as I1, I2, and I3, if you have any comments or feedback related to these specific indicators, these were the indicators that were ranked highest priority by stakeholders in the second survey. The second outcome is greater community awareness of local food system issues, activities, and avenues for engagement. So outcome number two. And the related indicators are the number of community-based local food events, the number of media articles and media campaigns launched on local food system issues and activities, and finally, the number of people in attendance at presentations on local food system issues and activities.
I should say, too, just as a general comment that we had, is we haven't done too much editing of these indicators because we felt that it was important to preserve the democratic process that we've been going through, where people have sort of been voting on things and, you know, we really put the hands in or the decision-making power in stakeholders' hands. So we're really presenting this back, recognizing that there is some things that we would probably recommend adding or changing as well, but we've resisted that almost all throughout this process with only minor tweaks and changes that we've made. So it's really a community development process. So we are looking for your feedback on these.
And finally, the last outcome related to healthy food communities and cultures is the promotion of local food businesses. The related indicators are sales of local food businesses calculated by dollar, total number of consumers reached for new marketing initiatives focusing on local food businesses, and the number of new customers of local food businesses. So at this point, for the first impact area, what we'd like to do is revisit the Healthy Food Communities and Cultures Impact Statement, which is building dynamic and connected food networks. Now that we've had a review, and if you reflect on the three outcomes and the nine related indicators, if the impact statement does not capture or needs to be revised or added to so that it reflects the outcomes and indicators and the change that you want to see under Healthy Food Communities and Cultures, what you can do at this point is raise your hand using the cauliflower platform, and we will unmute you so that we can have an open discussion about the impact statement. Just to answer Lalem's question, are you referring to the stakeholders that were listed in the trunk of the tree? That's correct. So various stakeholders were engaged throughout various stages and processes in this project. The stakeholders that were kind of broader groups are being listed in the trunk of the tree. If you don't feel as though that's an exhaustive list, we'd like to hear from you and ensure that we are capturing and reflecting the stakeholders that are vested in this collective impact map. Okay, we're not seeing any hands up, so we will move on to the second impact area. Oh, just have one comment from Angela. General comment, by saying students, is this emphasizing that schools are a key intervention place, that we are focusing our efforts as this movement? If that is the case, we can keep that. Thank you for your comment, Angela. And I think I just remind everybody, if as we move through this, because of the number of outcomes and indicators, if you'd kindly just write the outcome you're referring to, we are saving all of these comments, and we're absolutely going to ensure that all of these are included and used to inform any revisions and any changes that need to be made to the collective impact map. So if you'd kindly just write outcome and the number, or indicator and the number, when we go back, knowing that there's 45 indicators, we'll know what your comments are referring to. So thank you for the comment, Angela. We have no hands raised, so we're going to be moving on to the second impact area. So the second impact area is healthy food economy. And the statement related to that is growing and meeting the demand for local sustainable food. The first outcome for healthy food economy is to improve consumer awareness and demand for local foods. And the three related indicators that were identified as being highest priority are local food sales, the number of consumers reporting increased awareness of places to purchase local food, and the number of local food events. Just leave the slide up so that you can comment. The second outcome related to healthy food economy is stronger and more sustainable local food distribution network. And the three related indicators are the number of farm-to-school programs, the number of new food system businesses established in distribution and storage, and the number of partnerships formed to help improve food distribution and access. Again, even if your comments are related to the wording and how some of these indicators read, we'd greatly appreciate your feedback. As Ryan had mentioned, we've tried to, as much as possible, preserve the original wording from stakeholders and from resources and materials reviewed. And the final outcome related to healthy food economy is increased funding to the local food sector. The indicators are funds leveraged by regional food coordinators to support their work to develop regional food systems, the amount of local food sector funding received in the past year from government parties, and the number of opportunities available for funding for the local food sector. So at this point, we'd like to revisit the impact statement, just to reread it. It's growing and meeting the demand for local sustainable food. We'd like to ask if you see this statement reflecting the outcomes, indicators, and the work that you are engaged in and that's happening cross-sectorally around the province that would fit under healthy food economy. Does this impact statement reflect healthy food economy? Similarly to the first impact area, we'd like to invite you to raise your hand using the button in the top right corner of the cauliflower platform, and we will make sure to unmute you so that you can voice your comment, question, concern, and feedback. Just a general comment that this presentation, this Prezi presentation, I see some of the questions coming through. It will be available at least for a limited amount of time after we close the presentation. And if you are not comfortable with providing kind of real-time comments and feedback because we're at a limited hour and a half for this webinar, please feel free to review and scan through the Prezi presentation. It's quite interactive. You can scroll around. And if you feel as though some core outcomes or indicators are better placed underneath a specific impact area to provide us with, you can email info@ecoeconomics.ca or Sustain Ontario, info@sustainontario.org with your list. Again, we would ask that you identify the specific outcomes and indicators you're commenting on. I'm just going to, we're going to put the email addresses in the chat box so that in case I wasn't clear in the, or I was speaking too fast. So the third impact area is healthy environment. The working impact statement is encouraging and supporting responsible and sustainable food production. The three related outcomes, the first one is better connection between start and end of the supply chain, that is between growers and consumers. And the related indicators is the number of farmers markets and or farm vendors at farmers markets, the number of farm to school programs, and finally, the amount spent on local food to weighted average of all other food spending. The second outcome, outcome number 8, is increased use of biological controls rather than highly toxic pesticides is increasing. And the indicators are the level or percentage of highly toxic pesticides in the soil, the relative ratio number of certified organic farms to all other farms, and the relative ratio or number of farms with integrated pest management strategies to all other farms. Of course, and just to kind of relate back to a comment we made earlier, none of these indicators or outcomes have been identified as short, medium, or long-term as of yet. It's something that we would like to, by kind of the depth of the roots in this tree, or if within this visualization, the depth of soil that these indicators live in, we would like to include in the visualization some reference to the time that you see these particular indicators, or more appropriately, the core outcomes being achieved. So if you have any feedback or comments now or after this presentation related to the short, medium, and long-term outcomes and indicators, that would be much appreciated. And the final outcome related to healthy environment is increased biodiversity. The number of unique plant species per acre is one indicator that has been identified as a priority or of high relevance. The number of unique animal species per acre and the amount of land in acres dedicated to permacultural design, that is simulating or directly utilizing patterns and features observed in the natural ecosystem. So just to return to the impact statement for healthy environment, it's encouraging and supporting responsible and sustainable food production. If this sits well with you, we can move on. If there's changes that need to be made, comments, questions, concerns, as with the previous two impact areas, we would love to hear from you and have an open discussion. You can raise your hand using the Cauliflower platform, and we will be sure to unmute you. And if you're not comfortable raising your hand and speaking out loud, please feel free to type your comments or questions into the box, in your chat box. Okay, and there will be time after we work through these work through the visualization to have open discussion about the tree, all of the impact areas, the core outcomes and indicators more generally. So the fourth impact area is healthy people. And the impact statement is supporting active lifestyles and increased food literacy and security. The related outcomes are decreased prevalence of overweight children, measured by prevalence of type 2 diabetes in school-aged children from 6 to 18 years, the prevalence of overweight school-aged children, and the prevalence of obese school-aged children. The second outcome under healthy people is increased confidence and ability to identify, shop, and prepare healthy meals. The indicators that were ranked in the surveys as being most relevant and highest priority is the number of meals participants cook at home for themselves, families in a week, self-rating of food skills, for example, purchasing, preparation of food, and cooking, and the number of participants who self-reported increased purchase and consumption of fresh fruits and vegetables. And the third outcome related to healthy people is increased access to high-quality foods, regardless of race, color, or other factors. The indicators related to this outcome are the cost of high-quality food in each neighborhood, the percentage of population that can afford a nutritious food basket, and the number of food access points that are selling fresh, healthy food within walking distance. Returning to the impact statement, supporting active lifestyles and increased food literacy and security, we would like to hear back from you and have a discussion, if possible, about healthy people and whether or not this impact statement is accurately capturing the particular impact area. If you want to be the first person to raise your hand, now is the opportunity. We haven't had any comments via audio yet, and there's no pressure to provide comments via audio. If you'd like to continue to add comments in the chat box, just to remind you, we are tracking and we will have a capture of all comments, and these will be used to inform further revisions and discussion. So we see a lot of chats coming through. We greatly appreciate them. We also see a number of people on the phone. If you have not accessed the presentation yet, we'll provide the link again on the web browser. So you will need to click that link to access the Prezi presentation, which we're walking through at the moment. Okay, moving on to the last impact area, healthy food policy. The related impact statement is facilitating the growth and development of local sustainable food systems. The first outcome is greater awareness among decision makers of community food security and social planning needs. The indicators that were identified as being most important to this outcome is the number of decision makers on municipal food policy councils, the number of policymakers engaged through presentations on community food security or social planning needs, and the number of collaborative food security social planning projects with decision makers. Outcome number two, related to healthy food policy, is policy change at the local level supports food system activities. The relevant indicators are number of new food system jobs created due to policy change, the number of new food system businesses established due to policy change, and local food sales due to policy change. If you at any point feel there are indicators that are more relevant or if these indicators need to be revised, please provide your comments in the chat box. And the final outcome related to healthy food policy is implementation of policies supportive of sustainable local foods. And the three indicators are the number of policies that directly reference sustainable local food, the percentage of policies that directly support small local growers, producers, and or artisans, and the number of sustainable local food procurement policies. We'd like to return to the impact statement. Having reviewed the outcomes and indicators, does the following statement reflect healthy food policy as an impact area? Facilitating the growth and development of local sustainable food systems. Is this something we need to change, revise, add to? We have a question from Meredith at Community Food Centers Canada. Meredith, I'm going to unmute you. Go ahead, Meredith.
Hi there. I just was wondering if it could be more specific, the statement line, to actually say something about policy in the impact statement. Obviously, healthy food policy is connected, but it's a little bit general, I suppose, when you get the statement. So just even saying through, you know, pro sustainable food policy, or you're probably trying to keep it a little short and succinct, but to add something in there at the government level, or you know, something a little more specific.
Yeah,
I unfortunately I have to leave the call for another meeting. I was waiting to just sort of see the development of it all, but I had two other quick statements going back to the other ones. I wanted to be able to compare them all before I commented, but I just had written up in the chat about the physical activity, or the one previous, which was about the healthy, the healthy people impact area.
Okay.
Just where it's active, I'd written that to me implies more physical activity,
right,
rather than healthy eating, which is a part of what a lot of us work on, but maybe it's not the primary focus, where often it's more about the healthy eating aspect.
Okay, that's great, and really great feedback. We really appreciate it. And we recognize and understand that time is limited in a format like this, in an hour and a half webinar. We'd encourage yourself and anyone else to revisit the presentation, especially if you need to leave at this moment, and we would love to receive any additional comments or feedback, Meredith and everyone else, from you. So if you are having trouble at any point after this webinar accessing the presentation, we will please contact us, and we'll provide you with a direct link so that you can spend some more time. And it's very difficult to take on 45 indicators and 15 outcomes in their entirety and discuss them individually in such a short time period, in 90 minutes. So if you have the willingness and are able to dedicate some additional time to kind of exploring this tree, climbing the tree, we would love to hear from you. Okay. So that wraps up the five impact areas: impact statements, related outcomes, and indicators. As we have been working towards drafting and creating a working collective impact map, we've identified through the co-design sessions, as well as additional research and consultation, a number of strategies that are really going to, at the reservoir stage of this tree, feed the tree and really support action from key stakeholders so that the local food movement is creating kind of broader cross-sectoral change. The strategies that were identified were direct action, policy and advocacy, education and awareness. We certainly don't see this as being an exhaustive list or as encompassing all the various types and breadth of activity that community-based food initiatives are engaged in. If there are activities that you do not see under these umbrella strategies, or if you feel that we should be adding additional strategies to this reservoir, please let us know, and we're happy to open up the webinar now if you'd like to raise your hand so that we can have a more open discussion.
One thought that I had, this is Ryan, I know we're waiting for other people to put up their hands, was should community engagement be there as a strategy or community development or something of that sort? Does it seem like that's included in the strategies? Anyone have any thoughts on that?
Okay, and we've seen a couple additional comments come through in regards to difficulty kind of reviewing the tree in its parts and not as a whole, and I think that is where providing the link after this and some additional time to navigate around the visualization yourselves will certainly help to see the relationship and if there's any misalignments or any changes that need to be made. So. Thank you for the comments. Significant portion of this project, as we mentioned at the beginning through the development process of this collective impact map, has been around understanding where there are opportunities to leverage and utilize shared measurement tools and resources, with this collective impact map being one of hundreds of resources. We here at EcoEthnomics, with support from Sustain Ontario, reviewed hundreds of really diverse tools and resources, and we presented a number of these and spoke about these at the first co-design session at Bring Food Home in Sudbury. The apples in this tree are really meant to showcase some tools and resources, whether or not they're pre and post surveys or questionnaires, or templates that can be used by various organizations across the sector. When this visualization is complete with its final revisions and changes, we will be able to embed various tools and resources, or Sustain will be able to embed various tools and resources on an ongoing basis that they feel may be used cross-sectorally and could be shared across the province to help ensure measurement and evaluation is done in a way that is working towards greater collective impact.
Yeah, Ryan here, I should maybe add that just to clarify that those tools could actually be inserted into this interactive map so that people could log in and actually either download or click on those tools, and it will actually take them to where they can access those tools and resources through all through this map. So it can serve as a gateway for those for accessing those tools and resources. And just to remind people that we've collected quite a number of those, somewhere around 220. We reviewed them, and I think Sustain has now identified that there's about 170 of them that could be useful for other organizations working in community food initiatives. And so we're hoping that at least some of them could be identified as relevant to this impact map and could actually be embedded within it, which would be quite exciting to see it used that way.
And related to this and understanding that the bedrock and foundational support is required really to hold up and sustain, no pun intended, a tree like this, sustain in Ontario and Food Share Toronto will can be continuing to provide foundational support to really help food organizations across the province work towards evaluating and building evaluation capacity in a way that's essentially working towards impacts that we all share as a collective and as a local food movement. So that's their mandate and their interest moving forward is to really see this tree grow, be utilized as a resource across the sector and provide that support on an ongoing basis, whether or not it's through sharing tools, insights, and additional resources to help achieve those particular impacts. And then the local food movement really is what will continue to feed this tree, allow it to grow, for it to be realized, for the vision to come into being over the next short term, medium term, and long term. So this is really kind of what it's all about. It's really about building consensus around the impacts and vision we want to see, and really allowing the local food movement as a collective to work towards realizing that vision and creating those impacts.
Just, I think one other thing that we should mention is that we have an advisory group that's hopefully going to be helping to vet this impact map and give us some more comments and feedback. We've received some really great feedback from Lynn Roblin with Ontario Food and Nutrition Strategy related comments, and that was really great. And we're hoping that we get comments from Community Food Centers of Canada, Eat Local Sudbury, as well as Just Food. So all of those organizations are on the advisory committee, and hopefully will inform some additional changes to this impact map.
So with that being said, we've tried our best and we wanted to ensure that there's a good amount of time to have open discussion about this tree. If there is any interest in going back to any of the core outcomes, impact statements, areas or indicators, we would love to hear from you. We think for the next 20 or so minutes, if we can help to facilitate a discussion about changes that you would like to see to this map, reflections on it, kind of general comments and feedback, that is what this time is really for. And you can participate as with the past questions by raising your hand and we'll open up the discussion and try to respond to everybody. So at this time, if you'd like to raise your hand, please don't hold back. If you've got questions about any part of the visualization, the collective impact map, the development process, revisions that you'd like to see, please raise your hand at this time. We'll ensure to unmute you. So if you're looking for, we can only assume that you're looking for the raising hand icon. It's in the top right-hand corner of the Cauliflower platform. We'd love to hear from you. You can raise your hand and we'll unmute you and we're happy to have discussions. Great, thanks so much. C. Jones, so I'm gonna unmute you. Hi. Hello? Oh, I think we may have lost. If you'd like to raise your hand again, we can. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think. Phone call. Okay. So if I know there was some comments and questions about what the tree itself looks like. Again, this is where if we can work through this with you or kind of navigate the visualization with you, we'd be happy to. If there's a particular area or questions, I've just zoomed out of the tree itself. If you'd like a bit more of a walkthrough before you navigate this on your own time and provide us with feedback by email, which we'd greatly appreciate. Essentially, we put the vision as the sun. The branches themselves are their impact areas. We have the impact statements in the leaves. The trunk and the core is obviously the stakeholders, and the outcomes are the roots. This is where we'd like to identify short, medium, and long term by depth of root. The reservoir, we have the strategies, the features we find in the soil, and the foundational or backbone sort being the bedrock. So I think we do have a question. Yes, Meredith, you're still with us. That's great to see. I've got you unmuted. Hi, Meredith.
Hi there. Sorry, my meeting was postponed by 15 minutes, so I came back on. Great. There is somebody else who said their hand raising wasn't working, and that person was before me, so just to not miss them in the chat there. I was just thinking about the first one again, the impact area around healthy food, communities, and cultures.
Okay.
And with the word or the use of the word networks in the impact statement, I was wondering if it should, it seems like the outcomes that you're referring to are a little bit more individual focused as far as students becoming more engaged, and then I guess it says the outcome two is increased awareness in the community, but just something in that impact line around engagement and engaged people. So whether it's engaged food citizens or something like that, the network, the use of networks, I was expecting it to be about more how different organizations are collaborating or something, and it didn't really seem to align with the outcomes that you are actually talking about in that one. I thought that the school or the third one around food businesses, as someone else commented, didn't really fit at all. But if we're just looking at student, it fit maybe more in the economy one. But anyway, the right. Students and the engaged people, if maybe you have something around engaged food citizens or something like that in that one.
It's a really great observation, and certainly these are absolutely working statements. This is the entire purpose of this call, so we really appreciate your feedback. And it does seem that they don't always correlate directly to the outcomes, and that's what we're aiming to achieve, is to really have alignment and to have impact statements that are showcasing the change we want to see. So we've made note of all of your comments and greatly appreciate them. Thank you. And just to speak to the individual who's been raising their hand, we have someone who raised their hand who has dropped out of the conference. So, okay, is this C. Jones? Let's see if we can, no, I think it's because it's a phone. Okay. Our apologies to participant C. Jones. We're unable to, we see you as being dropped out of the conference. So if you'd like to contribute your comments or feedback via chat, if you're still available, we see that you're using a telephone. And that may be part of the issue. Are there any other comments, feedback, questions, concerns that we can have an open and frank discussion about at this point in time? Okay. So we have a question. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah. Do you hear me?
Yep. We can hear you.
Okay. Perfect. I did put in the chat in a few different points in time about schools and educational organizations, and I did say that in the talk probably we should put those as stakeholders I know FoodShare, for example, is one of them. Like, they do are very active in food. But other than FoodShare, there are a few more. I don't want to name them, but there are a few organizations that are working in food, within food, with food gardens and trying to train teachers to teach edible gardening to students. I think that's a huge gap that we do have in the educational system, and if we can, put that, I don't know exactly because I don't see the whole, I see the whole picture, but they're a little bit small, so I don't know which one exactly it relates to, but at the same time, I think it relates to everything. So it relates to education, it relates to creating awareness. A lot of the school gardens could be community gardens, so it relates to communities, and students go home and their parents are part of the community, the teachers, everybody, right? So I just wanted to emphasize the fact that I see this huge part of this whole, this very important stakeholder missing from this, although I do see education in other places, like, for example, at the bottom in the root level, education was there, but as a stakeholder, it's not there. So
that's great. Great. Well, we really appreciate your comments and agree that, as mentioned before, it's certainly not an exhaustive list, and this is great feedback. So we will definitely include educators or educational institutions as a key stakeholder.
Now, I think this is Ryan here. I'm wondering whether it makes sense in the trunk of the tree to identify public institutions in general, just because we were trying to keep that as fairly general. I mean, industry doesn't speak to all the very important stakeholders across the local food economy either. It doesn't do it justice, and yet it's a catch-all kind of stakeholder group with one word. I wonder if public institutions would suffice for our purposes, and I don't know how you feel about that, but I hear I hear your comment about educational institutions as being really important, but I think there's other public institutions like hospitals and others that are quite important as well. So I wouldn't want to, pick out one to highlight in the key stakeholders and sort of leave out others. So I don't know if you have any follow-up comments to that or if that makes sense to others, but.
Hello?
Hi. We can hear you.
You can hear me? Okay, so I just want to mention that not all the educational organizations are in the public sector. So I don't know if public sector or what did you say? I think it says public sector or public organizations. That wouldn't cover the whole educational organization. There are some that are in for-profit businesses.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a great point. And definitely.
That sort of makes me think maybe we need to change food organizations to organizations or civil society organizations or community benefit sector organizations or whatever we want to call them. And that might include those other types of non-public educational organizations. I see Lynn Roblin's comment as well that public health is another stakeholder that's important to the food system. I agree completely. I wonder how we would label them, or maybe we just need to include a longer list of stakeholders and be more specific. I wonder if that's my concern here is that there are so many stakeholders in the food movement. We've done many surveys, just as an example, where we've tried to classify all the stakeholders, at the outset of a survey and have people self-identify, and it's quite complicated. With Food Secure Canada, at one point we had something like 27 different types of stakeholders in the food movement, and very challenging to maybe fit all of those into a simplified diagram. So we were trying to, you know, kind of refine those groups into nice, neat little phrases. So that's a bit of the challenge. Anyways, I think these are great comments about key stakeholders.
Does anybody else have anything to speak to in regards to key stakeholders or any other comments? So I think we've got some great comments and appreciate those. Are there any other comments, questions, concerns, or feedback that you'd like to share at this point? You can please continue to use the hand icon and we'll be sure to unmute you. Oh, hi. Okay, we've unmuted you, I think. Just a second. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
I totally understand that when you say that the number of stakeholders could become a longer list and you try to organize them probably into maybe categories and name those categories, and that's a good approach. I appreciate that because with any industry that is so wide, because food system is a very, very huge system, that happens. Like you would have a long list of stakeholders and you have to figure out which ones are more important, maybe, and then pay attention to those. So if you're doing that, which is totally understandable, maybe another list would explain which one of them are you categorizing under which category within that.
It's a great point, and there's certainly the point of this visualization, especially using the Prezi format, allows us to, if we would like, and I think it's a good point, if there was some catchment stakeholder categories that we could provide a supplementary list of who the stakeholders are under each category, that may be a great way to provide as much detail as possible without having to identify each unique stakeholder in the trunk of the tree itself. So thank you for that comment.
Yeah, just another comment that someone made in the chat box, which is quite a good one and probably important for us all to recognize as an important stakeholder, is that farmers aren't explicitly mentioned. Although we've mentioned industry, farmers aren't given probably the recognition that we absolutely should be giving them in the diagram. So that's a great point. And again, I think once we start to get into the more granular details of all the different stakeholders, we'll come up with a very long list. But I think Trevor's point is that we can kind of move those off to the side of the diagram and kind of have an arrow pointing to the trunk of the tree or something like that, where we can include maybe a more detailed list of key stakeholders, because we don't want anybody to be felt left out of this. This is a completely inclusive process and diagram, so we don't want to exclude any key stakeholders, that's for sure. Okay, any other comments from people? And hopefully people aren't having trouble with the hand-raising button. I know that, I think it was, is it Corrine?
Mm-hmm.
Corrine typed a comment back into the chat box if you go up. Right here. So that comment was that I think it's important to highlight access to local food for students rather than just awareness. Awareness can only do so much if students do not have local food options in their cafeterias, at their restaurants, and in their school programs, etc. Great comment. Thank you for that. I think it's a great point. So access is going to be really important for us to think about and include. So Point well taken.
Great. So we're not seeing any more comments at this moment. As mentioned before, this Prezi presentation is available through the link that we provided in the chat box. If you're having any difficulty accessing the presentation, please feel free to contact us. We'll put the contact email addresses in the chat box again now. If you're listening on the phone and unable to see the chat box, the email is info@ecoethonomics.ca or info@sustainontario.org. And we have your email, and we will be sure to share the presentation via email after this so that you can spend some time navigating through the visualization. If you're providing comments back by email or feedback back, we'd greatly appreciate it if you would kindly just identify the outcome or indicator as you're in your comment. That would be much appreciated so that we can ensure that your comments and feedback are used to inform any revisions to this working collective impact map. In terms of next steps, we will be making revisions based on this webinar to the collective impact map and in consultation with Sustain Ontario and Food Share before preparing any form of dissemination webinar. And the dissemination webinar will be taking place on April 14th. So in not too long, a couple of weeks, this window is a great opportunity if you're online or listening for you to contact us directly if you have an interest in providing additional feedback or asking any questions or having any comments. So we'd love to hear back from you. This visualization will only get better, and the collective impact map will only gain value with your feedback.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Trevor. I think just maybe a final few comments. I think there's lots of questions that will be coming up for people as they look through this. And, you know, I think keep in mind it's a working draft. There's lots of revisions that can be made. Also keep in mind that our time is limited due to budget and time constraints and things like that. So eventually we'll be sort of I don't want to say finalizing, but we'll be, you know, saying that this map is complete from our perspective for the moment. But by no means will that mean that the conversation will stop. It means that the conversation will have to continue. So, and I know that Sustain Ontario and Food Share and probably other advisory committee members will have those conversations of how to take this forward, how to vet it through maybe other stages of engagement, how to get more feedback, how to refine it, et cetera. And then I think there's some broader questions about, well, how will this tool be used in the future? How will it be operationalized? Will it be used as an advocacy tool at some point? You know, what are the organizations that are sort of at the core of this going to do with this Prezi interactive tool? I believe that their plan is to host it eventually for everyone to access. So just as most of the other deliverables for this project, I think probably all of them are things that will be shared openly. And in virtue of who's funding it, you know, I think both Sustain Ontario and Food Share Toronto see themselves as you know, supporting the sector and doing their best to provide open access to tools and resources as much as possible. So, yeah, I think that's all for today. We really do appreciate all of your feedback and suggestions. I know that the technology has worked pretty well for us, but obviously this is a lot to undertake in an hour and a half session. We didn't have resources to have additional in-person meetings, otherwise we would have done that. But I think this has worked. It's given us, it's given you an idea of what the tool now looks like. It also, you know, is given us quite a bit of you know, feedback, and I'm sure more of that's going to come in after this. So we really do appreciate that, and we'll consider all that feedback as much as possible.
And our apologies if for some reason we weren't able to see your hands. That appears to be just a technological glitch. So Yara and anybody else who may have had their hand raised, if we didn't get to include you in any discussion when your hand was raised, it's because we were unable to see the hand. So please contact us directly or provide some feedback by email. Great. Well, with that, we would like to say thank you again. If you are providing feedback that you would like to ensure is included in any revisions, if you could do so by April 6th, we'll make sure that all of that feedback and comments are included in any revisions prior to any dissemination webinar.
So thank you again, guys, from Ecoethonomics, and thank you for everyone who participated on the call. This is Phil jumping in here again for a moment just to say a final thank you, and just to let you all know, the project funding for this was a very time-limited amount. The ministry was giving out grants to most of the other fields for multiple years, but for some reason for the food sector only gave us 1 year. And that technically ends tomorrow, but we've prepaid for some services and expenses to allow us to carry on a bit into April. More importantly, Sustain and FoodShare have both committed to continuing this work in some way or another, and thus it's important to recognize that what we're going to end up with at the end of this process is very much a starting point, and hopefully something that can lay a bit of groundwork for further fruitful conversation in the food sector as we all try to work together to chart out what our collective impacts are and could be. So once again, thank you all for participating today and for being a part of this in various ways. And we look forward to seeing even further comments as we hear from more of you and as we start to tie up this first iteration of our tree diagram. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye for now. Have a good week.